Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, this episode is NSFW. That means not safe for work. None of ours really are, but this one just got unhinged. We talk about the Iowa-USC game. We talk about the Hawks. We talk about a lot. It's an hour long. So, like I usually say, buckle up. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 76 of the podcast. And boys and girls, it is another championship offseason.
How about them Hawkeyes?
Yeah, how about them? How the fuck about them? All right. How about all the guys on ESPN and all those idiots, the talking heads, saying that SC was just better and they were going to win and America doesn't know what they're talking about and this, that, and the other? No, fuck you. I think you guys saw that that the tougher team and the team that was more prepared, the team that wanted more, was the team that came out and won the game. You can have all your stars you want. You can shove them supremely up your ass and let all of the sharp, jagged edges of the stars tear your rectum on the way in, because the Hawks took their two stars into San Diego and we shoved it. Let's fight on.
Fight on. All right, well, and that was episode 76. Thanks for joining us, guys.
We hope you guys have a good Monday.
Drake,
you
should look into I'll produce it, and then we'll just get you heated as fuck on something, and you'll just open up for about 2 to 3 minutes. And it'll just be called like Coffee with Drake. And for 3 minutes, you just go off on something. It's just a daily podcast.
So now, is that really something you need to hear? Like, you wake up and then you just hear Drake yelling at you for 3 minutes. I mean, that's a shock to the system right there.
That was a similar opening to the text message that we got last week about Drake said, like, I woke up today wanting to drill holes in somebody's kneecaps, insert batteries, and light them on fire.
And that was roughly at like 6:30 our time. So he woke up at 4:30 to text us.
he might not have been asleep, but nonetheless, it's good to be back. If I sound like the abominable snowman, it's because I've been out of commission almost all day today. It's Sunday, December 29th. We usually try and record this in the morning. And your boy woke up sick. I don't get sick.
Just want to make sure to tell us that he never gets sick either.
I want you all to know that. This is the first time in 6 years that I've gotten sick any more than like a sniffle. And the only reason this, I had sniffles is because Drake and I kept our dorm room at 48 degrees.
Yeah, and we slept really good, but Kluver decided he didn't want to sleep on his bunk anymore. He was going to sleep on the futon below it because I guess the mattress was more comfortable. And he slept directly in line of the fan, which was blowing the coldest air possible. And he was sick the whole winter. And also, don't forget shellfish guy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, ooh, yeah, yes.
You're
yes,
right, but that's not nice. That's not because, well, it is because of my immune system, but that's an allergy.
Self-diagnosed.
It's self-diagnosed. We're going to find out, actually. One of my Christmas
presents. It's got to be right.
This is one of my Christmas presents right here. 23andMe, health and ancestry.
So, man, the government's going to get all over that shit.
They can have my shit. I don't care.
They can't have my shit. See, I think I'm going to do too much stupid shit throughout my life where I just don't want them to have enough on me.
Drake, have we told the story of the guy in our dorm room?
I don't think we have, man. I don't think that story's ever been told.
Okay, we'll let it for another time. Kevin, you know about it. It's
is that the one where the random dude comes in? Like,
well, let's just tell it now, man. It's a good story and we're into it.
Okay, so we're God, if I was a listener to this podcast, I would just, every time I flipped it on, I'd skip to about 8 minutes in because we talk about dumb shit. This is just us. This is what happens when for a week you got three guys who like to talk and we catch up for like the first 8 minutes before we get into the real shit. So,
yep. And we're all, each of us is a little screwed up in our own unique way.
Yeah. So Drake, this was spring, right?
I don't remember what time of the year it was, but I remember the experience was pretty weird.
We may have told it, but again, it's a good story to hear again. So I'm pretty sure we were coming out of the winter because it wasn't exactly warm out, and that's what makes this story pretty great. I, like Drake said, slept on the futon underneath my bunk. For those who have been in the Hillcrest, or I guess, you know, just think about a dorm room and where you'd put a futon. It goes underneath the bunk, kind of where the desk would go. That's where my futon was. Drake slept up in the bunk. And one night, we didn't lock our door.
Yeah, because, I mean, who's break? Typically, we did. Typically, we did, I think.
Maybe I would say half the time we locked our door. Because,
okay. Who's breaking it, you know?
Right. Well, mostly because our room was the hangout room our freshman year, N320 shout out, best Vine account out there.
No, it's third floor Vines, you goon.
I know, but still. One night in the middle of the night, I'm laying on the futon and in a very dazed state, I thought that I feel Drake on my legs. At least what I thought was Drake. I thought Drake had come down out of the bunk to grab something or go to the bathroom, and he just sat down on the futon quick. And so I went back to sleep. I just, you know, it's down by my feet. I'm like, okay, well, that's a little disrespectful, but he'll get back up in the bunk eventually. And then decided to, at some point I was like, okay, I guess he's not going to get back up there. So I literally, like, almost with my eyes closed, cause I knew the room, like the back of my hand, I just like kind of feel up the ladder of the side of the bunk and just grab my blanket, pull it up to the top of the bunk. And then I was sleeping in the top. I wake up and the mirror was across the room and I could see down below my bunk from across the room the next morning. And there is some random guy just in his boxers sleeping on our futon.
Yep.
So I look over at Drake and I go, Drake, do you know this guy? and he kind of wakes up and looks down and he looks at me like, what the fuck is going on? And the guy is kind of waking up at this moment too. And so Drake, this is when Drake just goes, hey, who the fuck are you, man? Dude's in his boxers, hung over like a mother. And
not only was he hung over, he looked like he was coming out of a fucking roofie hangover, man, because this dude didn't know his name. He couldn't form a sentence.
Didn't have shoes. The only clothes he had were his pair of boxers. Yeah. He walked to our room, which first of all, imagine that. Like, this guy found his way to our room in just boxers. He did not live in Hillcrest. He might have been in Mayflower.
He asked us like what building we were in.
Yeah.
Said Hillcrest, and he said, "Oh, this isn't whatever." And we're like, "No. The fuck out of our room right now, dude."
So he like grabs his, I think he had his phone on him too. He like takes his phone, gets up, walks out of the room, says like apologizes, and closes the door, and Drake and I just look at each other like, "What the fuck is going on?" So that's a interesting story from our time in the dorm. Anyway, the Hawks
on to football, man. The Hawks won by what might as well have been a million because it wasn't even close. And, you know, USC, the blue blood of the fucking world, OJ Simpson, double murder, Reggie Bush, got paid to play. Yeah, they just both got sodomized. So sorry about it. About the fornication, USC. Fight off.
We'll get to the specifics. I think we just break down the whole thing here in a moment. But let's start with how salty Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush were.
Oh, boys, that was so delicious, wasn't it?
I don't know if you – I realize that there's nothing you can do about it. Like, they work for Fox, and, like, Fox had the game, and so
– yeah, but, it's, you know, it's like if Fox hired us to do the post-game analysis of a Hawks game that just lost, what do you expect? Like, if you're working for that, you know, you should probably have a little bit higher standard than we have on this shitty podcast where you're shitty not podcast. Just openly cheering for USC and like, you know, yeah, all the analysis is like about how USC lost the game, not giving Iowa any credit or anything like that. Oh man. I don't know. They were salty. It was delicious to watch.
I loved it. A lot of people didn't like it because it was unprofessional or whatever. Fucking unprofessional is our middle name on this show. And
yeah, I hate professionalism, as a matter of fact. And I'm actually fighting to erase all forms of professionalism from this podcast.
Yeah, so, well, you do a pretty good job of that on a consistent basis. Which is going to make it hard to come through on one of the requests. I shot out a tweet yesterday from the Wash Up Walk-Ons account that said, "The new year's coming. What new things, new guests, new ideas would you want to see on the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast?" And one mom, so sweet, bless her heart, said, "Love what you guys are about. Love all your stories and the lessons that you portray and kind of tell over the podcast. Would love for my sons to listen on a." God, I'm burping. Jesus Christ.
Tastes like
no. That's gone. "Would love for my sons to listen to a full episode, but they can never get past the first F-bomb without hysterical laughter."
So I'm just going to go ahead and apologize for not being NSFW. Sometimes you just catch a bad apple. And,
well, we are NSFW.
Yeah, and this podcast might as well be the Bad Apple Podcast.
So, yeah, her request was one episode where we're clean the entire time.
I've been...
Honestly, that'd be a good challenge.
I think it would be, too. I think
it'd be kind of fun to do. We should start timing when we drop our first S-bomb in every episode.
Like, the average.
Would be decent. But what I was about to say is that we started this whole podcast thing solely for fun, and we do it because we love to do it, and you guys are hearing our natural conversation, and the reason our podcast is entertaining at all is because this is literally how we talk to each other. We're looking at each other on the screens and just having a genuine conversation that we're enjoying talking some Hawkeye sports. So I mean, when we drop the F-bombs, it's just how we talk to each other. You guys are hearing it.
Yeah, we got a lot of requests, a lot of different guest requests, and a lot of those are on our list. A lot of the ideas are on our list. Excited for the new year for sure. We'll get maybe into that later after we talk about My wife just texted me during the middle of the podcast. Derrick Henry has 41 fantasy points today. Good for him.
Oh, cool. I mean, because that matters in week 17, right?
Well, we're still in our championship for the family league, so she just won our league with that.
Do you guys want to let the listeners know who did best in our Hawkeye football league?
Yeah, so unfortunately, and through a lot of trials and tribulations, Drake Kulik took home a 10-man former Hawkeye Brethren league.
What's the name of that league?
Anal Fantasization, I believe.
All righty.
Because who doesn't dream of a nice beehole?
See, when the founding fathers came up with the First Amendment, they had no idea Drake Kulik was going to be coming 250 years later.
I am sweating so bad right now.
So the people love the hot lava joke. So, you know, I just keep coming back. You keep coming back, man. The people keep coming back.
I think there was a mom that said something about their son or their husband laughing at the hot lava between their butt cheeks too. We're 15 minutes in and all we've done is put out 3 out of 10 content.
Complete.
But is it going to get any laughs at all? Probably.
It'll get a few.
A lot of people are going to shut off right after that.
100%. I'm going to have to put a disclaimer out on this one that they need to scroll to about 15 minutes in.
If they don't want to hear a little bit of funny banter.
If they just want to get to the football.
All right, so, let's talk about football, man. Yeah, so, these people have suffered long enough.
So Reggie and Matt Leinart weren't happy because the little Iowa Hawkeyes from the Midwest, with their, I was gonna say with their average stale football team. That's just I just love taking shots at the fans who continue to say that. But we rolled into
10 wins.
Yeah, 10 wins. We'll get to that. But we rolled into San Diego and kind of put a beat down on the Trojans.
Yeah, so, I mean, the guys just flew down to San Diego, hung out, caught a couple rays of sunshine, enjoyed the weather, and just beat the piss out of those 5-star recruits.
So, Kevin, enlighten me on what the line for that Hawkeye game ended at.
-2. The wise guys in Vegas were the only ones who called this game. All the talking heads on TV, on the radio, on, you know, anyone on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever social media platform, everyone in the world was picking USC in this game, except for those smart dudes out in Vegas. They had Iowa as a 2-point favorite.
So, yeah, so that was, I'll be honest. No one saw the game playing out like it did. I told a couple of people who always ask me at work or just around, like, what do you think? I said, if we can find a way to stop their passing attack, we win by a touchdown. AJ Epenesa decided, I'm going to ruin Keaton Slovis's career. I thought it was going to be worse than it was, I guess. I saw a report today that it's not going to require surgery. It'll just take treatment and time.
Yeah, I thought his elbow was gone.
I thought his shoulder was gone.
They say he sprained both his shoulder and his elbow.
Makes sense.
AJ gets those big paws on you, man.
And he had the ball in his hands, and AJ palmed the other side of the ball right as he was coming back and almost like spring-loaded Slovis's arm. And when you go, it's actually very similar to like if you were going to go try and like punt a football and you're assuming that contact from the ball is going to hit, you're assuming when you throw a football that it's going to give a little bit and that's where you put it behind you. If you go out with no football in your hand and just throw your arm in that motion as hard as you can, doesn't feel good because that football adds that resistance. And AJ basically multiplied that by 50. That guy's good, first of all. We'll talk about maybe him and Tristan and them later. We slowed down their passing attack. Slovis was out in the middle of the third quarter, early third quarter.
Yeah, they were throwing the ball pretty much at will up to that point, and then AJ just decided that he's going to stop their passing game. And basically their entire offense, I don't think they scored after that. But just by himself. He's just going to do it himself.
He pretty much just decided that he was the best player on the field and these guys were no longer going to stop him, and he was just going to bully them, and that's what he did.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you want to go back to that point, you know, it was 28-14. They score a field goal before half. They come out and score their first possession. They get the ball at half, and they score really quickly. And then they get that onside kick, and it's 28-14. They got the ball on our side of the 50, and they're going in again. Like, they had all the momentum they needed at that point, and then AJ just comes and shuts it down with one swing of his massive paws, dude. And that honestly, to me, is the play of the game right there. I mean, you're obviously not going out and trying to hurt people, but at that point, USC's – hopes of coming back were pretty much done.
Yeah, like on that point of not going out there intending to hurt people, one of my roommates is a diehard SC fan, like I mentioned. And when that happened, I texted him with full intentions of hurting his feelings. I just chanted Tommy John at him over and over again.
There was not a good chance that USC, first of all, like, it's demoralizing to watch. Like, say Nate Stanley, had that happen to him, that'd be tough to watch for the other guys on the team.
Very.
Let alone the impact of just bringing in the second string guy. Then you add on, like, the demoralizing demeanor and kind of the fog it puts on your team and the rest of the game. We had it locked up basically at that point, and we kind of just put the nail in the coffin. Nick Niemann finishes the game with a pick six. They had a shitty snap from their center.
Let's just give a quick shout out to Nick Niemann. Nick Niemann did not start this game, and he came in, I want to say, towards the end of the second quarter, and he played really well. And that's not always easy to do, coming in off the bench and when you're not supposed to be the starter. And he came in, and he played really well. So I want to give a shout out to Nick.
Well, shout out to Nick. And you tweeted a little Coach Wallace tweet. It's the faster and more athletic Niemann.
Yeah, that's what Coach Wallace always used to say in linebacker meetings, just to fuck with Ben. And who knows? Maybe he was right.
All I know is that he's better at rushing the passer. Wow. Got more sacks.
Coach Wallace tweeted the picture, retweeted the picture of the analysts like picking USC, Corso and all them, and said swing and a miss because they were 0-for-4. And I think I tagged you in it, Kevin, and with a quote and said, what they didn't know is we got a bunch of dogs on this team.
Now we need some dogs out there on this punt unit.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about a bunch of Chihuahuas out there, or even not even those pit bulls. You know what? And he had the presentation up there. Do you know what that dog is? He'd like point to, hey, Regumba, what type of dog is that? It's like, I don't know. It's a Caucasian mountain dog. That's the type of dogs we need out there.
He would come into the meetings just on one every day. This is before LeVar, Coach Woods, took over the full-time special teams. And we'd be sitting there 3-4 minutes. First of all, it was just fun banter with him, because if you're at the starting punt team, line's the front row. And so he'd always sit there. Who do you think is going to be late today? Whose ass am I going to have to rip? Someone would walk in like 3 or 4 minutes early, which is technically.
Which
like,
is, you know, God forbid you're not 5 minutes early.
Right.
But yeah, you're early, but you're not early enough.
We know your schedule. You just finished your lift 40 minutes ago. All you had to do was shower, grab a breakfast sandwich, and walk in. And they'd walk in with their breakfast sandwich. He would just rip them. Oh, Jamudia, sit your ass down. Start this meeting.
Got to fix that demeanor.
Hey, we're looking for guys. There's a lot of guys who are willing, all right? But we need guys who want to play for this football team, want to play special teams on this unit.
Now, right? Now, Dvorak, now you can be a dude now.
Gervais, I don't know if you're a dude, man.
Oh,
Gervais is Javas is a dude now.
Javas is a dude. When Brady Ross and I crashed the linebacker dinner at Wallace's house.
Oh yeah, I do remember that. That was fun.
That was great.
So over the summer, the position coaches always have their position group over at their house for like a barbecue or something for one day before camp. And for some reason, we invited the fullbacks to ours. So it was all the linebackers, and then Brady and Drake over.
Because we deserved it.
We got to
dude. I think you, Drake, you even came in on my like my preseason meeting with Wallace, weren't you?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. For some reason, yeah. Drake was like an honorary linebacker because
I used to be. I wanted to be.
He felt bad that we had to kick you out of the linebacker room.
When Coach Reed was still around. He didn't
technically kick me out. I mean, if Coach Reed wasn't a prick, I might have still been like a backup. They might have let me rush the passer.
Coach Reed was a good guy. He was just old school as hell.
Luva, get in here. Watch some film.
Yeah, I would walk by. We'd try to – I'd try
– Edgy!
I would literally sneak into the player lounge to play some pool after we got out of our 20-minute specialist meetings because there were still 60 minutes left of position meetings. And if Coach Reed would see me, he'd be like, no, Kluva, get your ass in here. Sit down. Grab a playbook.
Coach, like, I don't give a fuck about cover eight.
Yeah,
Coach.
I
don't care that the Will is dropping hook flat. I don't care, Coach.
I sat down and learned more in a couple single-hour sessions about football, the times that he made – and he would not let me leave. Would not let me leave. In those sessions, then I –
Yeah, God forbid you had to go through a whole film session. Ugh.
Hey, I needed that rest, that mental rest.
Kluver, still, think about this. Think about all the hours that I had to spend in a room with Chris White and you got to spend in a player's lounge. And then that completely makes sense as to why I am, and you are why you are.
Well, it doesn't help the predispositions either.
Hey, guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
But yeah, Coach White, man. What a guy.
I should have turned him into Frankenstein.
Okay.
Well, all right. That's enough about that. Let's get back to the game, man. So how about these Hawkeyes, man?
Yeah. So, I'm going to have to tell you guys to skip ahead to 25 minutes again. let's start at the beginning.
We dominated the line of scrimmage. We absolutely dominated the line of scrimmage. They didn't want to play. They didn't know how to take our guys on. They'd never seen an offensive line that was attacking them like that. Those dudes were lost playing gaps, and they were getting smoked.
Their D-line was definitely their Achilles heel until Slovis went out. They had almost no pass rush.
Yeah, that was the huge thing. It's like we've seen how good Nate can be when he has time, and he had time. Like he was not pressured like at all that game. And yeah. And we saw how good that first half, man, he was dropping dimes wherever he wanted to.
They kept talking about it. Klatt, and I love Gus Johnson and Klatt.
They're a great combo.
Combo. And they kept saying it. They're like, you know, this Nate Stanley, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the draft. If he played like this every day, he would be a day one prospect. That's what they said. And then they mentioned how he's been inconsistent. And you mentioned it, Kevin. It's sad that our O-line went through some shit earlier in the year, because given the time, I think you saw it. Nate Stanley picked apart a USC blue blood defense like he was playing a bunch of eighth graders and made it look easy. His throws were money. Everybody else, and then everybody else plays well around that.
Can we talk about Amir's throw?
Oh, dude, it looked good, except it was just like it was a beautiful ball,
dude.
Just a little long.
This guy just absolutely throwing dimes.
Amir is the perfect person to do that. I didn't know he could throw like that. Actually, yes, I did. I didn't know Amir is the perfect person to do that because he's one that wouldn't think about that in the moment. Like you come around the corner, you catch that, and you start looking for Brandon Smith downfield. A lot of guys, Rastetter, they get in that position where it comes time to throw the ball, and they've never done it in a game, especially
and they stub their dick,
and they baby it, and you know. The money ball that he threw to Brandon Smith, if Smith was one step ahead or maybe even just positioned different, he was in stride on the other side of his body, he might have caught that ball. And that was like the low light of his game.
Yeah.
He scored a touchdown on the kick return. Amazing. Love seeing that.
We got to see his true speed there. That was pretty fun.
True speed. He scored a touchdown on
he had a little end around, and then he had a little screen pass. Yeah.
So he scored three touchdowns
in the first half.
In the first half, and basically, it was so funny because, and a lot of people on Twitter were all about it. They were talking about how USC could not deal with ISM speed. Like,
this is the truth.
Yeah,
that was the fastest dude on the field that day.
And granted, you line up those two teams roster. Number one guy down to 105 or 120, whatever it is. USC wins on average probably most of the time. Sure. But Amir is our fastest guy, and they could not handle him.
It was awesome to watch.
It was very fun to watch.
It was. So, and I just got to go back and talk about the offense a little more. That first half that they had, Brian could not have had a better first half.
No,
I think that first drive was like a 7-minute touchdown drive. Then we give up a touchdown. Then we have like another 7-minute touchdown drive, give up a touchdown. I think then we have the kick return for a touchdown. I think we get a stop. We get another touchdown. Like Brian could have called any play, and like the boys were executing, and you know, Brian put them in some great spots too. Like, and
the timing on the trick plays was perfect. They worked to perfection.
Everything was working because he's putting the guys in place in position to make plays. And you know, with the way that first half was going, the fact that USC I think only had the ball three or four times,
yep,
just because of how much possession we were playing with.
Yep.
I mean, that was the reason that you know the defense hadn't given up 48 points, because if we were not executing on offense, that our defense was in trouble, because that first half was pretty rough for the defense.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, more and more I like to look at the hidden stats: time of possession, field position, start average. I think we started average on our 36 yard line. They started on like the 23. I mean, that's so huge. That's a first down. That's a whole first down every drive that we had already on USC. Time of possession, the way we play football, we thrive on holding the football and sustaining drives, wearing down their defense, giving our defense time off, because the way that we play defense is a bend-don't-break system where a lot of the drives we end up out on the field longer than we'd like to be. But again, it's
yeah, I mean, the best way to play defense is sitting on the bench. And, you know, we had a great defense this year, but part of that is, you know, the offense was pretty good at time possession this year. Amazing. And it's easy to play defense when you're sitting on the sidelines.
And then you talked about the plays, the reverse to Tracy where Tristan eats a guy alive on the edge.
Oh, that dude wanted no part of that. Did you see
so
him?
Because Tristan was moving so fast. Like, why is Tristan 330 pounds in knee braces and moving that fast? Fast.
The dude just took a dive. He's like, I don't want it. I want none of this heat right now.
No.
We'll come back around to Tristan, but God, that man is gonna make a lot of money.
He's a specimen.
The end around to Amir for his first touchdown. Great play call. Tons of motion, throwing off the USC defense. so many play calls. Laporta had a couple nice catches.
Had some really nice blocks too. Like that was very encouraging to see.
Laporta's on his way to being the next great.
Yeah, he's really gonna be very, very great. Yeah.
I want to see one more year. Well, I want to see a few more years, but one more year of offseason training with Doyle, because that's the one thing I would say he doesn't have on on our three guys in the league right now. He doesn't move as well as George or Hawk. It's a
pretty fucking high bar, though.
Incredible bar. But when he gets there, he's going to get more athletic. He's going to put on more muscle, put on more speed, more strength. Laporta is already a problem, and he's going to be a problem moving forward. We just got to find someone to throw to him. I don't think that'll be an issue. Kevin, on the kick return for Amir, was that a bounce play? Was that a bounce call?
I don't think so. It could have been, but it's hard to see. You never really do get a great angle. So if you really want to pick apart a kick return, you need the end zone view.
Yeah, you got to have that end zone footage. But just a great – what Amir does so great, and he was so close to running a couple back our senior year. Ball security was something I questioned a lot, but I can't argue with his production. He's one of the best, probably the best kick returner in the nation. Like, stat-wise, he was leading the NCAA at one point, and I know that the USC game helped him out. God, he's good. We get him back. We get Brandon Smith back. We get Nico back. Laporta's back. Everyone is back. We lose a couple linemen, especially if Tristan leaves.
I mean, Nate's gone, but really, who cares? I mean,
yeah, and Nate.
Nate was such an average quarterback those 3 years.
Right. I mean,
it was nothing but a fucking liability, dude. We're better off without him.
Right. If someone told me that he would, you know, we could start a quarterback and he'd go 3-0 in bowl games and he'd go 9-3 in trophy games as a starter, non-bowl game. So really, he went 12-3 as
a trophy. Just tell him that we don't even want him.
I would say, guys, we're looking for quarterbacks that can play in the Big Ten, right? No, Nate is...
All right, for you soft brains out there, we're obviously kidding. Nate's going to be... we love Nate. Nate was our quarterback for our senior year, and he did a great job stepping in that role.
Nate's going to be an incredible NFL backup quarterback.
It was awesome to see him play such an awesome game for his last game as a Hawkeye, and I was so happy to see him ball out like that. It's going to be sad not seeing him in the black and gold anymore. And then, I mean, that goes with a lot of the seniors, dude. Like, I'm going to miss not seeing
B. Ross
with the cut block on his last play.
Drake, we'll make Drake cry here. B. Ross entered the Twitter world officially a few hours ago before this podcast was recorded.
And it took a little bit of coaching from yours truly before he got it done.
Well, They're all gonna. My voice just cracked. Like, I'm 12. Congrats to me. They're all gonna. I don't know who will be on Twitter, who will be that active. One thing is the one good thing about all these seniors graduating is now they are prime targets for us to go after and bring on the podcast. Speaking a little bit to our projected kind of schedule that we'd like to pump out to you guys. Depending on how long this podcast goes, because we still have the CFP games to talk about and some other stuff. I don't know. We might split this into two next week. A week from today, I would love. Hopefully Brady's available. We have Brady Ross scheduled to come onto the podcast. Hopefully he's available. We're gonna have the B. Ross. Fullback of the century, maybe the millennium, come on and be our first guest from this class of 2019, and you guys will surely enjoy every single minute that you get.
I don't even know where the conversation will go, and who cares, because it doesn't need a leash.
Now, yeah, could be scary. It's gonna be great. That one will be NSFW. The lady who wanted a clean podcast is not gonna get it with the B. Ross.
Oh, fuck yeah.
We're gonna have Brady do his dolphin impression too when he comes on.
Oh, I can't wait.
After that, I don't want to spoil too much, but assuming that AJ and Tristan both leave, anybody who leaves as a junior, I guess that includes Gino as well. Those are the three. Those would be our next targets. We want those guys to be the next on the podcast. AJE, I'm not sure how good of a podcast it would be. We're going to try to get him to open up. He's a quiet dude. Tristan will be a fun podcast. Yeah. Tristan, just, you saw the videos of him running around with the trophy afterwards, going to the band. He is one big 14-year-old living in a giant's body. And he'll be fun to have on as well. We plan on trying to get all the guys that just graduated. One high request when I asked about a month ago was Devontae Young. So that would be another interesting episode as well with his story.
Devontae Young is a great dude.
Great story, great guy. And we're excited to bring all those guys on. Anything else about the Iowa-USC game that you guys want to talk about? I mean, they basically dominated. Everything went Iowa's way other than the first half when they were – I mean, their receivers are absolutely elite. You're looking at three or four NFL receivers on their roster.
100%.
And let's be honest, their receiving core as a group, better than our D-backs as a group. It's just the way it is. You're not going to win every position group. And that's
they had an awesome receiving core, and they had performed that way pretty much for the whole season. So our boys had their work cut out for them for sure. You know, and they, you know, had a few plays got on them, but you know, in the end, they calmed down. Their quarterback gets knocked out, and you pretty much shut them out from there. So I don't think, I mean, they didn't score for the last 20 something minutes of the game. Right. So I mean, I just got to go back to say, man, it was awesome to see these boys play all year long. 10 wins is a hell of accomplishment. We talked about it our one episode where we got really upset at the fans.
So it's so tough.
How many teams at the end of the year are going to have 10 wins? It's not going to be a lot.
This is going to be
a top 15 team with a bowl win. I think these seniors set the record for most wins in a 5-year span.
They did.
So I mean, it's sad to see them go, but it's so exciting to see where the program's headed and see this momentum hopefully carry over the offseason into next season and beyond. All I guess do is say thank you to the seniors, man. It was awesome watching you play. It was awesome playing with you when we had the opportunity. It was good to see you guys grow up and become leaders of that team.
Yeah, Kevin just went all professional again with the professionalism here, but got to echo that. It's, as an alum who is a guy and who went through it, did the 5 years, stood up at that last workout in the summer before your senior year and received the Iron Hawk, I don't even know what you'd call it, just a little memento. Kevin's got it right there. Not very many people get those. Not very many people get those. It's extremely hard.
Not many people that you even came into class with get those.
Right.
I mean, we talked about before, we graduated with less than half of what we came in with.
Yep, and most of the classes do. I, the other day, while watching the game, I looked over at Lauren and I was just like, man, I'm so fortunate. Like, I don't know how I was lucky enough to be one of 15 guys on average a year to be a front to back finisher of completing the Iowa football program. Like, it's such an, I'm not trying to toot our own horns here, but it is an elite group. It is hard to do that. And, the respect that we have to the guys who ran the whole race on this year's team and every year after that, it makes you feel good to be one of the Hawkeye brothers for life.
And what else can you say? Welcome to the washed up life now, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. Now you
the
get
washed
to
up life. It can treat you well.
Yeah. It's never going to be the same though.
No.
Moving forward. I think real quick, I want to get your guys' opinions. Tristan and AJ Epinesa and Gino. Who, out of the three, tell me what, if you had to put money down, how would it play out for those three? Who leaves? Who stays? I thought that it was going to be Tristan and AJ were for sure gone. and Geno would stick around, my mind might have been shifted. I don't know if it's just me wanting them, or I feel like both AJE and Tristan are so strongly connected to the program and love the university. AJ seemed a little emotional in his post game, more so than he usually shows. So I don't know if that was him kind of, you know, staving off the last game emotions, if that was his last game. I don't know, man. What do you guys think?
Hey, you guys know better than anyone how much I'd love to see him back next year. Those guys are some special dudes on and off the field. They'd be awesome leaders for the team next year, but at the same time, they've played well enough for the past 2-3 years to be first round draft picks, and that's life changing money. I got to say thank you so much to them for playing in this bowl game. It's become a popular thing to sit out. So, I mean, they didn't have to, but if I was in their shoes, it's, you know, I love playing for the Hawkeyes. You guys know that. I love every last minute of it, but at the end of the day, playing in the NFL, that's something you can't pass up, and it's first round money. And that's, again, it's life changing money. So I think we did see our last game with AJ and Tristan in the black and gold, and, you know, credit for them. They had an awesome career, and I think they deserve every good thing that's coming towards them this spring.
I'm with it. They're both gone. They both deserve to be gone. They went to college and they did what they needed to do. They're great teammates. They're great leaders. Both great faces for the university, and now it's time to go collect the bag.
Go, Geno. I don't know. He's probably going to have to wait to see back. I'm guessing he's going to make his decision based more off of, you know, where his draft stock's at. We'll see. Another guy that, you know, we have a ton of respect for would be an awesome leader for us next year, and we'd love to have back. And a guy who loves playing for the Hawks too. So we'll see.
I think Geno's going to come back. I think he was just testing the waters. I think he's going to come back.
We'll see.
If I were Geno, I would come back.
I would as well, but I can't. I don't want to speak too heavily on another person's life.
Yeah, true. I mean, I was wrong about a couple guys leaving last year too. So who knows?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna be Homer Hawkeye. Okay, here's another question: Does AJ and do AJ and Tristan text each other in the next couple days and say, "Hey, like, does it ever come into mind, like, hey, you want to stay for one more, see what we can do?" Like, because that changes things a lot.
If I would have had the opportunity and I had the resume that those guys do, I'd be like, hey man, camp at Iowa was cool, you know, the offseason workouts with Coach Doyle in the morning were cool, you know, but the Lamborghini's cooler.
Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know, man. It's fun to play imagination like that. Who knows how good we would have been if we had the four guys who left last year stay.
Would have been wild.
It's, yeah, I mean, you're playing with imaginary toys though, dude. It, who knows?
I think it, you're right. Tristan and AJ, they're both guys who, before they were on campus, were maybe in the same class, before they were on campus, were like maybe the biggest locks to just, hey, in 3 years, in 3 years, you're an NFL first rounder. People were saying that. And here we are 3 years later, and they're NFL first rounders. Like, they were deadlock.
It's because you look at the tools that they were blessed with and that they have worked hard for, and yeah, you know what the Iowa coaching staff is going to do. So
right, yeah, it's a credit to them too. They didn't just, you know, walk out of the hospital they were born in and it's like, oh, okay, I'm getting drafted in 2020. Yeah, they worked for it too. So I mean, yeah. It'll be fun to see them get rewarded. But
as soon as they sign on that dotted line to for their NLI, the Iowa coaching staff was always going to get players of that caliber to where they needed to go.
Yeah. Absolutely. Tristan's poor mother. moving on. Drake, you live in Arizona.
Yep. It was a beautiful day out here tonight.
There were two very, very big football games that happened.
Oh, are we doing this? I thought we were doing two episodes.
Well, I might split this since it's going to... I mean, we're at 50 minutes.
Oh, then if we're just going to cut it off, then let's cut it off because I'm going to go eat dinner.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Tomorrow, when you guys hear this, I guess it's today as you're listening, you guys just listen to us break down kind of the end of the Hawkeye season, specifically to Iowa. Hoping to do a New Year's Day recording with the boys again to talk about the CFP, how LSU absolutely dismantled Oklahoma, and how good of a game the other matchup was, Ohio State and Clemson. We're going to talk about that on Thursday's episode. We hope that you had a great weekend, a great year.
And we hope you had a great last 50 minutes because we tried our best to make it enjoyable.
There was one or two butthole terms that slipped out.
Every once in a while, a b-hole gets mentioned.
Okay. Happy 2019 to everybody.
Hell of a year, guys. Hell of a year. We know we had some ups and downs, but it was a fucking fun year, man. That was
a fun Hawkeye team to ride.
Man, we got to wait till fucking September to watch Hawkeye football again. I fucking hate it.
That's all right, man. Hawkeye basketball coming up. Shout out to Joe.
Hawkeye basketball. We got Hawkeye wrestling going for the natty. Spencer Lee called it. Man.
All of which is going to be talked
all over the place.
I was going to say, all of which is going to be talked about and crossed over into on yours truly, the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast right here. Every Monday and Thursday, we're going to try and come at you with an episode this offseason. It's 2020. We're ripping heads off.
And guess what? In 2020, we're coming out with new merch, Kirk's Dogs, collaboration with George Kittle. It's in the works. We're images. You guys are going to be able to get some shit. Let's go.
Not to mention that permanent store where you'll be able to buy a Hawks by a Million t-shirt to start other clothing items. Eventually, that permanent store where you'll be able to buy 24/7 at any point is going to be up in less than a month. So,
yeah, man. The new decade is looking up already. We're starting off the new decade with some tremendous steam.
That is it for the Wash Up Walk-Ons.
Shout out to KF, man. You're a legend. Hawks by a million. Cash and tickets, baby. Let's go.
Heart don't have stars, bitches.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.